Welcome back to For the Girls. We are coming at you live from the Bellagio with an incredible member of the Mercedes AMG Petronas Formula One team, Carrie Donaghy. She is the motorsport legal director at Mercedes and has been with the team for 10 years. We are so excited to chat with you today.
Thank you so much for being here. First, before we can't wait to dive into your whole story and everything Mercedes, but we're in Vegas for the first time since the 80s, at least. How are you feeling?
Jet lagged, first and foremost. But yeah, it's super cool. It's new. It's different. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love it. It's great.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's the first race. There's always some teething problems, but. Yeah, so far, I'm enjoying it. Are you enjoying it?
We're having a blast.
We're having the best time.
Yeah. So we'll dive a little bit into your background. Tell us how you even got started with Mercedes. Did you always have an interest in motorsport?
So the answer is no.
Okay.
So yeah, to go way back, obviously I went to law school. When everyone does law school, they all think that they're going to change the world.
Which is important. That's a good mentality.
And change the world. Yeah, still believe that. So yeah, I graduated and actually really struggled to find my first role out of law school. So I ended up taking the job in a post room of a law firm.
Okay. It's
not exactly what I thought I was going to do. But yeah, so I ended up delivering posts to all the lawyers. And every week I would ask them, can I have a job like in and after about 6 months they gave in, like, okay, you can have a paralegal job. So I did that for 2 years, and then an opportunity came up at Mercedes-Benz Road Cars to take an internship. So again, it wasn't quite, I wasn't continuing my legal profession as such, but I thought, let's try it, let's do the experience, and then I can go back to my law firm. So I went to Mercedes-Benz Road Cars. So I went there, I couldn't even drive a car. So
that's a good place to learn.
I had to get two buses to there. Eventually I actually passed my test when I was there.
It's the UK driving test is very difficult.
And also we're New Yorkers, and it's very common for people to not drive.
Well, there we go. So yeah, I was a little bit older, passed my test. So yeah, I did that for 1 year, and actually I was negotiating a contract with someone in Formula One. And my only experience of Formula One growing up was my mum was a massive Michael Schumacher fan, and it was always on TV. So I knew about Formula One, but didn't have a huge interest at that time. And the person I was negotiating with on the other side in the F1 team, I said, why don't you come over and have a look around the factory? Just it was 1 week before I was due to go back to my law firm. I said, sure, I'll come over now that I can drive. I can drive over in my little smart car. And yeah, I arrived, and unbeknown to me, it was a semi-informal interview.
1 week before you were set to leave.
1 week before I was set to leave. And yeah, they offered me a job 10 years ago as a legal assistant. And I thought, I'm not sure. I don't know. And he said, well, come for us for 6 months. If you like it, we'll give you a training contract. So a training contract in legal sense is you have to spend 2 years before you're formally qualified. Mm-hmm. If you like it, then perhaps you can train here. So yeah, I went for 6 months, and 10 years later, I've had a few different jobs in between.
Now you're sitting at the Bellagio in one of the best roles ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. So we would love to hear more about your current role. I'm actually a lawyer as well, and I love hearing one thing that's so interesting about the profession is how different people's day-to-days are. So what is kind of your standard day in the life, if there is one? Are there particular problems or issues that you're usually tackling?
Well, before I get into that, now I know you're a lawyer. Now I know why your Concord episode was so good. And why you know about the PU26 regulations. I was thinking, these girls need a job on my team.
We do love getting into that.
Yeah, even on the finance side, I was very impressed.
Well, Tiggy used to work in banking.
Well, there we go.
Yes.
Lots
of different industries going on.
Yeah, exactly. So my day-to-day, there's no day-to-day. That's kind of normal. I think how I would explain it is we kind of split it into different areas. We have commercial, which is very much all about the sponsorship and, doing the sponsorship contracts and all of the things that you might see. Like, for example, this Las Vegas Grand Prix, obviously there was a lot of contracts that needed doing for that, marketing, that kind of side of things. So just general income. Then we have the day-to-day business. So if you strip away Formula One, what you have is an engineering company.
Exactly.
Yeah, so day-to-day business. You have a large amount of employees. You have employment law. You have, you know, lots of purchasing contracts. We travel to many, many races every year. We've got many hotels, so you have to contract with all of those. Then you have the regulatory side, sports regulatory side, which is probably what people are most interested in. So that is interpreting, advising on the contract, advising on the regulations, to which there is a huge amount, but you know that because you've read them. And then I also have, you mentioned the board role, so I'm company secretary, and there's quite a lot that goes on with just the corporate side of things. No day to day, I would say, but kind of those are the four main areas that we would look at. And I have, we have a team of 10 at Mercedes in the legal team, which is a fantastic, great team. And we go through all of that.
Sounds like you guys do a lot just for
keeping
10 people.
Keeping you all busy, only 10 people.
Yeah, you don't realize kind of how much a Formula One team generates in terms of just day to day legal. But yeah, it's good fun.
That's such a good way to refer to it, as also having an engineering company. If you strip away the team, and that presents all of its own legal challenges. That's so interesting.
Yeah, well, we were at the Marriott panel with Toto yesterday, and he was saying, if you think about it, like, the majority of the employees, it's just engineers. Like, it is that. And actually talking about sponsors, he was talking, it was the Toto Wolff Marriott Bonvoy panel, and they talked a lot about what it means to be a good sponsor. And so when you're negotiating sponsor contracts, what does that look like? Is it particularly challenging? Are there certain things that you have to watch out for?
I would say the sponsorship contracts are probably the easiest of negotiations, because what you're doing is actually getting into a partnership with another company that wants to be partnered with you. You both want the same end goal. You want to be able to announce that partnership. And I think when you think of it like that, it's very straightforward. The negotiations of a sponsorship contract is always making the other side see your viewpoint. Okay, well, it doesn't quite work like that in Formula One, or this is how it works. So the sponsorship is actually really good. It's good fun. You tend to get to know the partners right at the start.
We sensed that yesterday. It was a very friendly rapport between the two of them.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit difficult sometimes when it's cross-jurisdictional.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're dealing with lawyers in the US, obviously I'm trained in the UK, they'll normally be trained in the US, and sometimes that can be a little bit tricky, but normally we get through it okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's good to hear that the sponsor contracts are relatively easy, but a topic on everybody's mind all the time is driver contracts. Yeah. So I imagine there are so many things that goes into those conversations. What is that process like, as much as you can kind of say about it?
Okay, what can I say? I think what is interesting is people don't really realize how many driver contracts you do. So when you've asked me that question, you're thinking about George and Lewis.
Yeah.
We actually have, I think, don't quote me on this, but maybe like 18 drivers on our roster. So, so whether they're young drivers or, you know, we might have some very young drivers in karting. We manage some drivers, and yeah, we obviously have our main drivers. So every negotiation is completely different. Someone like negotiating a Lewis contract is actually really straightforward, because, you know, he's been with the team for so long. You know, there's a framework in place. Again, with George, I've known George since I think he was about 17. So, so he's been with the team a long time. So of course, that's, again, we just have that relationship. And I think once you create a trust and relationship with the drivers, and again, a bit like the partners, you want the same thing. We obviously want the best for our drivers, and you know, that it makes total sense for everyone to be happy in that scenario. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into them. There's probably can't go into it too much, but confidentiality. But,
Well, as a diehard Mercedes and Lewis fan, I skipped down the sidewalk, clicking my heels when that contract got announced.
Yeah, me too.
I bet. For different reasons, I'm sure, just getting over the hump.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's so great.
We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. Orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to Fleur Marché, FLEURMARCHE.com. Use code FORTHEGIRLS for 20% off your first order.
Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, though, just visit tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
And in terms of the driver contracts in the past couple years, Vegas is such a great example of this, of the explosion of popularity in the U.S. And there's so many more obligations on teams now with the additional race burdens, more travel, more partner appearances. Does that make kind of driver contracts more difficult, figuring out all the sponsor work they'll do as well?
I think it's a little bit more generic than that. Yeah. So you probably wouldn't go into, certainly in my experience, you wouldn't go into specific details. Okay, we've now got Las Vegas. It's more about the amount of time that you have and yeah. using that time mm-hmm. appropriately. Got and it. Also, our goal is to win races and win championships, and your driver needs to be yep. in the best shape for that. Yes. So it's all really about the management. We don't go into too much detail about that in the contracts.
And I have one follow-up on the contracts that I have to ask, but feel free to say no. Do contracts ever, like in your experience, have any sort of stipulations around performance or performance goals for each of the drivers?
The reason I can't answer that is because I'd probably be breaching confidentiality.
Yeah.
Figured
what we had to ask.
Good try, though. Good
sure
try.
I want to ask a little bit about the Concorde Agreement and then also just kind of cost cap and how that's made your job maybe more complicated or the things you think about over the past few years with that being more in yeah. play.
Yeah. So it's a little bit more complicated because obviously we have another set of regulations, right, which yeah. there is just a huge amount already. I would say we've got the sport and regulations. Obviously, we don't review the technical regulations, but sometimes things will cross and you need to check them. The international sport and code, financial regulations, power unit regulations. So
wow.
there's just, and Concorde on top of that, as you mentioned. So the financial another set of regulations to interpret, to advise on. So again, in addition, that is super important. And also the legal function is an excluded activity. So you tend to find that you're probably a little bit busier than you were before with the same resource. So
right.
That's probably the main, I would say the main squeeze of that one.
And so when you have some of that crossover or bleeding over where you're having to look at, say, technical regulations, what do you do if you don't understand the technical concept? Like what does that look like for you? Who do you go to?
So I generally, all of the time, I don't understand the technical regulations. But we have an amazing technical director, James, mm-hmm. Who has this amazing ability to explain a very complicated technical topic mm-hmm. in the most layman of terms. So he will explain it to me, and sometimes he'll draw little diagrams.
That is a very special in. If we could have him drawing diagrams for us, that would be very, very cool.
Yeah, he's really good. So yeah, if there's a topic that we don't quite understand.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I usually have drawings in the back of my notebook somewhere.
That's great. And as we're thinking about, I know it's still a few years out, but 2026 regulations changing, Are you all thinking about that actively at this point? And how much is that playing into kind of the legal side of things?
I'm not really thinking about it yet. Mm-hmm. So for our legal function, it's just going to be about when we receive those set of regulations, Then we'll digest them. What I like to do is create like a little guidebook. So the main focus would be the sport and regulations. Mm-hmm. So they'll be published. I don't know if they'll change. I'm not sure. But yeah, so we do like a little guidebook just to make sure that everyone on our team knows exactly. It's a lot easier to simplify those regulations. They are complicated. Yeah. They are really complicated. Into like a little visual notebook, which is
that's a great idea.
The best way to sort of figure that out. We need to do that with some of the other regulations. Actually, I haven't quite got around to it, but I will.
How do you interface with the trackside team? So you're, of course, here in Vegas. Do you usually travel to races, or when issues might pop up with the FIA or with the stewards on a race weekend, how do you all handle that?
So in our legal team, we tend to, so there's four of us that cover races. So I tend to come to maybe like four or five a year, but not necessarily because there's any issues. Sometimes when people see me trackside, they're like, why are you here?
Oh, no.
That's here.
Karen's
here.
Yeah. I'm like, it's Vegas. Of course I'm here. So we actually just cover, make sure that we review all of the notes and make sure that if there is ever a scenario where the team needs some advice, then we are either here in person to advise, but more generally we get on the time zone and we cover the race weekend. We get on the time zone, we cover the race weekend. But I'd probably do that anyhow, because even though 10 years ago I didn't know anything about motorsport, I actually love it now.
Now you know everything.
I'm fully invested. So it's not that much of a burden at all. It's actually really enjoyable.
You'd be up at a strange hour watching the race anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's all of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, that's how we cover it, to make sure. But thankfully, touch wood, not too many issues arise. It's more just general clarifications and making sure that we've interpreted the rules in the same way.
So thinking about your general role as a leader at the team, what sorts of things are you thinking about that excite you? Is it like the team's performance? Is it CSR or sustainability or diversity? What sorts of things excite you, like, from your leadership hat?
All of them. All of them.
Great answer.
So things that excite me, obviously this sport, there's always a challenge. Mm. There's always something to think about, something to really get your brain in gear. Mm-hmm. As a leader, I'm excited that I have a really ambitious team. So around me, obviously I'm here and I'm speaking, but I couldn't do half of the things I do without the amazing legal team that I have. And so it's about providing growth for them and making sure that we recruit the right people. Team performance, obviously that's always super exciting.
The North Star. Yes.
Yeah. So that's, again, super exciting. ESG is hugely important to the team. I know that you had Ali on talking about sustainability.
Yes, she was incredible.
Yeah, listen to that. She covered that so eloquently. But that's exciting, especially from a legal perspective, because we have to make sure that what we say is what we do, because it's really important to the team and to our reputation that everything we put down is what we actually deliver. Yeah. So that's really important. And of course, D&I is really important. I mean, you've created this podcast. It's females in Formula One. There's not that many of us, right?
It's the new frontier.
Exactly. There's not that many of us. But that is hugely exciting. And I think with Netflix, there's obviously a lot more female fans, which is great. But in addition to that, just seeing the growth of the team and the more and more super inspiring females that come into the team is yeah, exciting. That's probably the thing that excites me most, actually.
Oh, that's so great to hear. On that topic, we like to ask every woman in the sport this question. What is it like sort of, you know, having paved this path and being one of the relatively, unfortunately, few women at such senior levels? And do you have advice for other women or even young girls kind of looking to get into motorsport in any way, whether that's fandom, whether that's at a team?
Yeah. So it's interesting you said that. So the other night I actually met three 16-year-old girls who were currently studying maths, physics, science. I was like,
wow. Oh,
additional. And they wanted to be engineers. And they also asked me the same question. And I was like, just keep, like, if that's your goal, go for it. There's no barriers at all. You know, sometimes, you know, you just have to be probably a little bit more resilient. Always be yourself. Always be humble. And I think just encourage other females as well to inspire and grow and make sure that everyone around you feels supported and get a mentor. Yeah. It's really important. So all of those things combined probably would be my advice. Yeah. But it's not easy.
Hopefully getting easier.
It's definitely getting easier. Yeah. And there are lots of inspiring females in Formula One. And I think that's what's great about this podcast, because you're shining a light on them, which is great.
Oh, I love that you said just like keep at it. I think you in the mailroom asking for a job every week is like the perfect example of that. So that's amazing. So we always like to end our interviews on a fun, light note. We do some hot takes. So we're going to ask you a few quick questions and just give us your first thought. They're easy. They're so fun. Okay, so you got here Thursday night. What is the most surprising thing about Las Vegas so far?
The most surprising thing about Vegas so far, that you can still smoke inside.
We said the same thing. Yes.
We're shocked. We got into our hotel. We were like, whoa.
And we're American. It's like another world out here.
Yeah.
I know. That's probably not what you're expecting to hear.
same wavelength.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. How about your favorite game in a casino? If you were going to hit the casino floor, what are you going to play?
Okay, this is really embarrassing. So I have been to Vegas once before, and it was on my honeymoon. We were on a little American road trip.
That's iconic.
And I know, awesome. Big mistake. If you're coming to Vegas, go with the girls.
Yeah.
Don't go with your new husband. Anyhow, so I was like, let's put some money aside to gamble. That'll be good fun. But I ended up going on the Monopoly machine.
And you really want to go on this Monopoly machine, but I don't know where this is going.
Yeah. So $200 later, and the Monopoly did not pay off for me.
No.
So
nothing to show for it.
Nothing to show for
well
it.
For my evening.
We haven't really played anything yet, I think.
Yeah.
I've only lost $3 so far.
Well done. Does that mean that you've won?
Not
no.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
We're in the red so far as a team, but this evening we'll see. We're going to set ourselves a small budget and see where we can
I mean,
go.
If you're a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. The balance of risk is not in your favor.
Sarah won't play.
We're a risk-averse group here.
The house always wins, yeah.
Okay. And finance, you know, right?
Yes, exactly. Calculated risk is our thing, so... speaking of Vegas, the Sphere, if you were to see one artist perform in the Sphere, who would it be?
U2.
I
am
Sarah.
Gutted that I've missed U2, but I would love to see U2 at the Sphere. Yeah. That show looks amazing.
Hopefully they'll be back soon. I went with my parents. My dad's from Dublin originally. Most of my family's in Ireland. And Bono's kind of our main famous person. So it was very exciting.
I mean, yeah, he's great. It's super annoying he didn't stick around for the race, right?
I know. We were laughing at his funny video where he was talking about who they would all be as Formula One drivers.
We're handing the city to Formula One, but we'll be back.
And who did he say was Lewis?
Was he not Lewis? No.
He said he was Daniel Ricciardo.
I think it maybe it was the bass guitarist.
Yeah. Yeah. Was Lewis. Edge. The Edge, yeah.
And final question, your favorite Grand Prix to go to?
Budapest.
Ooh. Oh.
We haven't got that answer yet from anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell by our reaction. We like
what is it like? What's your favorite about it?
It's the track layout is super fun. You can see quite a lot of the track no matter where you stand.
Oh, nice.
The city is fun. Lovely. Really good fun. And has a great night out.
Okay, so we'll add that to our list. Montreal, and then
everyone listening, Budapest next year. Catch us all there.
Let's go. Well, Carrie, thank you so much. This has been amazing. We love chatting with super women like you. So this has been a really great time, and we hope you guys have a good rest of your
weekend. Thank you.
Cheering for Mercedes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.